Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience is with us in studio this Thursday to tell us about the making of Nile Rodgers. How are you?
Oh, brilliant. Thank you so much. And again, we've gone with, we were talking maybe we should do Nile Rodgers and Chic. Should we choose an album?
Yeah, what are we doing here? Is it just Nile?
We're doing Nile.
Just Nile.
Just Nile.
Well, and good times.
Well, here's the thing. You can't do just Nile.
I know.
Because he's worked with
everyone.
Absolutely everybody.
What a star.
What a star. I mean, 73 years young, still going. In terms of record sales, one of the most successful artists ever. You know, in terms of, I'm not sure how wealthy he is or anything like that, but it is estimated that he has driven, in terms of his production and collaborations and his own music, 750 million albums worth of sales. It's almost untouchable. So in terms of influence, Rolling Stone magazine said about Nile Rodgers when he was voted the seventh greatest guitarist of all time, they said there's influential, there's incredibly influential, and there's Nile Rodgers. So he's almost the common thread that runs through all popular music from the 1970s to the present day.
A hit maker?
Hit maker, career resurrector, and I'll say that. I'll say that about his own career as well, which we'll come to. But in terms of sometimes invigorating an artist who might have lost their way a little bit and helping them reinvent themselves, his influence is massive. I have in front of me, and I usually have maybe a page or two of notes, I have 8 pages of notes here. 6 of which are just the list of the people he's worked with. And I couldn't even
think. It's a huge array. Okay. Just before we get into who he's worked with and some of the hit tunes you've picked today, because it's kind of a selection, isn't it?
It's
any album.
It's one of the more eclectic collections of songs.
Actually, how many albums has he released?
Oh my God.
Of his own stuff.
Yeah,
I don't even.
Yeah, it doesn't bear
like
thinking
it's
about
that many.
Yeah, it's somewhere here. The pages continue to fall off the table here. But if you're wondering, like, where does he come from?
Give me his early life.
Yeah, I love when I read this because it conjures up all sorts of ideas for me. When someone is born on the Upper East Side of New York City. But his childhood is not easy. His mother is 14 when she gives birth to him. His birth father is actually Nile Rodgers Sr., who is a traveling drummer, percussionist, who Nile Rodgers will openly admit later in life that he sees very little of, but who, and in fact, I think he only met him a handful of times, but has a kind of an influence in terms of the musicality that he would develop with. When he's about 7 years old, enter a guy who has just one a fabulous name. He's called Bobby Glansrock, who Nile Rodgers described as a beatnik PhD, a guy who was regarded as kind of a philosopher, a writer of his time. The great poets and the beatnik poets would visit to hear the great teachings of his stepfather, effectively. It's bohemian as all hell. And he actually is immersed in maybe more kind of beat culture, a lot of music too. But he doesn't pick up a guitar until he's 16. Usually, you know, when we talk about artists, they're literally from the time they could walk or crawl. But he actually doesn't start playing music himself until he is 16. And he is now recognized as one of, you know, I mean, we can argue again this debate about who's the greatest guitarist. But he's up there. He's up there.
We opened with Good Times. It's certainly one of my favorites of his songs. But how successful?
Incredibly successful, and actually for more reasons than you think. Would you be a fan of rap music, Andrea?
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
Okay, so this song actually kind of inadvertently invented rap music.
No way.
Honest to God. So the band, the Sugar Hill Gang, who were sort of credited with the first real rap song, which is called Rapper's Delight, without Nile's permission, sampled Good Times in the song. And he didn't receive any credit or royalties for this. Now, he threatened legal action.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But it was all actually settled out of court. And apparently it was all you know, squared away and it wasn't as acrimonious as it might sound. But actually, Nile Rodgers, you could argue, almost inadvertently had a significant hand in the very beginnings of hip-hop music as well as his own genre.
Well, you can see that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, the progression of what we would call like black music in America from gospel into soul into R&B into hip-hop. I mean, he's there throughout all of this. And yeah, that song, massive, massive hit. 1979, so we're at the end of the 70s and disco is starting to fade, but what a track.
What was his first hit?
His first hit, this was really one of the first ones that kind of put him on the map.
Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had collaborations. Can I tell you, one of my favourite things about Nile Rodgers, fun facts, is his first job as a musician was in the Sesame Street live show band.
Stop.
Yep. He was. He was in the set. And this is where he meets a guy called Bernard Edwards. And Bernard is a bass player who he forms Chic with. But that meeting on Sesame Street, you could argue, they met on Sesame Street, is the That's kernel of everything else that will follow. Upside down, boy, you turn me inside out and round and round. Instinctively, you there it is, upside down. And I know what you're thinking, that's not Nile Rodgers. That can't be. No, of course, the great Diana Ross, another artist, which we shall definitely come
to. Absolutely.
But this is, again, this is where I was in my creative space trying to think about how best to do justice to the band. And if we just did Nile Rodgers or just did Nile Rodgers and Chic, it wouldn't express the breadth of the career because he has produced and written and, you know, this is 1980. So the golden era of soul, the Motown experience. Diana Ross had herself come out of the Berry Gordon, Smokey Robinson, Hitsville, USA in Detroit, Michigan. And dare I say, there was a little bit of a decline happening in that type of music and pop and things like that were coming through. Synth pop was beginning to make an appearance. This song puts Diana Ross right back up there. Clear number one. Massive, massive.
So
hit.
If you're on a bit of a downward trajectory,
call Nile.
Yeah, and he'll help you out.
Nile will get you back.
And he can straddle rap and disco and hip hop and soul.
And funk and soul and pop and folk and country. Keith Urban. There's nothing the man can't do.
I saw Nile Rodgers and Chic in St. Anne's Park in Dublin about 2 years ago. They were supporting Tom Jones.
I was there.
It was absolutely brilliant.
I lived at St. Anne's Park, so I probably could have heard it from my balcony.
Yeah.
But I was there because I had to see the man. So,
and it lashed rain. My God.
Did
it
anyone
horrendous.
Care?
No,
did anyone care?
Because it was such a fabulous Sunday afternoon.
I'll tell you why. Because the music of Nile Rodgers, no matter who he's producing for or performing his own stuff, is the expression of joy.
Mm.
It really is. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was great artists who I love, the Leonard Cohens, the Bob Dylans of this world, who explore the darker aspects of humanity. Nile's about the joy and celebration and
pop
live music.
And fun.
Oh.
And this, I think, is probably my favourite.
We are
family.
We are family. It's just ridiculous. I mean, no one should have this much talent. And of course, is Sister Sledge with a song that will need absolutely. I mean, you'd have to be living.
How successful?
Oh, like this is regarded as being one of the greatest female artist group songs of all time. It's been voted many, many times as one of the top songs. It also fits into that category that I like to call anthems.
Mm.
You know, when people are putting together, you know, compilations and things like
for
that.
Birthdays.
But also, I mean, I can't think of the films I've seen it in.
Yeah.
But it's there. It's part of the zeitgeist. And again, it's a celebration of family. Of sisterhood, of the joy of being together, and we all know that not all families are like that. But someone should speak up for the moments when we are all together. We're completely united, and we are family.
What about this one?
smile, colour lights up your face.
Let's dance. And again, Alan, is that Nile Rodgers? Oh, that's David Bowie. Shout out to John on reception, who will be very happy that we're featuring a little bit more David Bowie. So what I will say to you is, again, I would be maybe a little bit remiss if I said that Nile Rodgers resurrected David Bowie's career, because David Bowie is a standalone artist who always reinvented himself no matter what the ages threw at him. But nonetheless, it's a different direction for David Bowie, and working with a different producer and someone with the epic skills of Nile Rodgers took him into a very soulful and yet very poppy kind of direction. And I just, it's such an amazing standout track.
It was amazing, I know, 2 years ago, and I know he's played since, or performed since, I should say. But the just the age demographic, like, he just manages to strand so many.
Yeah, well, I mean, you think about, like, we artists we covered recently as well. I mean, he worked with Daft Punk, and he's worked with Pharrell Williams, and he's worked with Diana Ross and David Bowie and all these other artists. So, you know, not, I suppose maybe just one thing in terms of his own fame might not quite be as equal to his influence, if you know what I mean, within the music business. Maybe there is a sort of a cohort of people out there who are so familiar with his work without really being familiar with the man himself. And we nearly didn't have him. He has had three very close brushes with death. In the early 90s, he woke up in a New York hospital with a doctor at his bedside filling out his death certificate.
What happened?
Oh, his heart stopped 8 times. As a direct result, Nile would correct certain lifestyle choices in terms of the things he was ingesting. But he's also a 2-time cancer survivor as well. And as you said, in terms of his ability to survive, readapt. Mm. But I don't think Nile Rodgers ever sat down and said, well, I need to completely reinvent myself. I think
I'm going
to
be a hitmaker for 4 decades.
I will give him, Nile is obviously, he makes him sound a bit Irish, but he will give, his Irish connection is this. In the early 2010s, he was in a, if you'll pardon the expression, a bit of a funk. And he came to Ireland and he played in what is now part of the Irish Rock and Roll Museum, the Button Factory.
Go on.
Imagine Nile Rodgers in 2012.
Yeah.
And this is just before the Daft Punk and all of this. And he said in his biography that he credited the Irish audience at that time in this small venue that he played in. He also did a gig in Belfast as well at the time. And he said it reinvigorated him and made him want to kind of get back on that horse. So he said that one of the reasons when he's touring, and he's a, you know, an older gentleman now, he will always come back to Ireland, he said. He said, if
and he gets the crowd.
He gets the crowd.
There's no question.
Everybody goes and everybody enjoys it.
Your final song.
Oh, yes.
Is this the most successful of his own stuff?
100%. And I'll tell you, it is one of only 3 songs in the history of the Billboard chart to be number one on 3 separate occasions. And if you're asking me what the other one is, it has an unfair advantage. Bing Crosby, White Christmas.
Right.
Which, shall we say, has a certain seasonal resonance.
Yes.
This song has actually been number one 3 times. Now, if you don't like disco and funk, I can't help you, because that's all this is. It is purely belonging to its era. It is perhaps the best place to leave with Nile as well, because it's the closest to his roots and where he comes from. His partnership with Bernard Edwards has to be recognised. Bernard himself died in 1996 while they were on tour together. Nile came across the body of his friend. It had a devastating effect on him. But we should, when we're talking about Nile, mention the great Bernard Edwards, one of the great bass players. Nile said, Bernard could get funk out of a stick.
We are going to leave you with The Freak by Nile Rodgers. Alan Buckley from the Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Thanks a million, Alan, for joining us in studio to tell us about the making of Nile Rodgers.
The Freak.
Oh, Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.